Kairos Loan is a new type of lending protocol, allowing you to borrow instantly using an NFT as collateral and with the best rates on the market, according to Joseph Bosselu, co-founder and CEO, who is joining our podcast in this episode. As the use of NFTs increases in various industries, NFT lending platforms are becoming increasingly important. This is due to the fact that NFTs are illiquid by nature, making it challenging for holders to access the value of their holdings. However, NFT loans offer a solution to this problem by allowing holders to use their assets as collateral to borrow funds. These platforms allow NFT holders to use their tokens as collateral for loans. This creates a new financial market for NFTs, as lenders can earn interest on their funds while borrowers can unlock the value of their NFTs without having to sell them. As the NFT market continues to grow, NFT loans have the potential to bring a new level of liquidity to the space and unlock even more use cases for these unique digital assets. As part of the recent 1 million euro fundraise, Joe announced that Kairos aims to democratize and revolutionize the finance surrounding NFTs. Their flagship tool, Kairos Loan, is a collateralized lending protocol that enables instant value mobilization without the need to sell your NFTs, offering the most favorable terms on the market. According to Kairos, the startup wants to prioritize improving the user experience for borrowers while maximizing capital efficiency for lenders. With just a few clicks, users can leverage any type of NFT to get a crypto loan, completely eliminating liquidation risk and ensuring the best terms available. Kairos protocol initially supports the most popular NFT collections on the Ethereum network, such as Bored Ape, Doodle, Azuki. Let's get into the episode. In this first part, Joe dives into the exciting world of decentralized finance and how Kairos Loans is empowering users to take control of their financial futures. He discusses the alignment of Kairos Loan with the principles of decentralization and highlights the importance of striking a balance between innovation and the potential risks associated with new financial technologies.
So yeah, I will say that we're passionate about DeFi, decentralization in general, and how we can reappropriate by the users of this tool. We believe in general that NFTs will be part of many people's life in the future when it comes to community, financial assets, etc. And as in any sectors where assets have value, people will want to take advantage of them. And it's what we try to do at individual level to bring back some empowerment in financial assets and financial tools. So we have a huge advantage here is that we're evolving in an ultra innovative space with innovative assets, innovative tech, etc. So we're kind of like at the end of the spectrum compared to other industry where we can allow ourselves to deal with risky behavior. So we are in a risky sectors with high returns, etc. And the user base that we have right now in the space has a different risk tolerance and risk management. So we can take profit of this user base and try new things, push the boundary of innovation, push the boundary sometimes of risk. But yeah, we can explore past the risk with the current user. And but at some point, we'll have to improve the security and risk management if we want to have a broader use of this kind of tool. For example, like institution, they can't rely on smart contract risk. They will have to have some non-permissionless tools, etc. But also something I want to mention is that it's not only the financial technology itself, but how you use them. And for example, with the same protocol, let's take Kairos, for example, where you can borrow against your NFT. If you borrow again a Moonbird, which is like a profile picture NFT, very volatile, go up and down pretty fast, etc., then your interest rate is going to be high and the loan to value might be low because the risk here is greater. So in order to make money out of the money that you have that you're borrowing at a high price, you have to take really risky either arbitrage operation, etc. But if you take exactly the same protocol and use it with a different type of assets, let's take for example Ethereum validator NFT. So this kind of new NFT represents validators, and you know that there's an underlying value of 32 ETH in Ethereum inside this NFT. So you can manage risk, and as a lender, say that, all right, I'm not taking a lot of risk if I'm lending, let's say, 30 ETH. So the loan to value is super high and the interest rate can be lower. So with the same protocol, different asset, then you can do something else with it. And it's already the case with PFP. For example, if you look at CryptoPunks, that has been run for a lot of times, people have been borrowing at 5% interest rate. And in some country, for example, I was speaking with someone in South Africa, 5% is less than the rate that you can get at the traditional bank. So it's not only the financial tools that you use, but also the asset that you use in this kind of financial technology.
Additionally, Joseph sheds light on the role of NFTs in the future of gaming and how Kairos Loan is actively contributing to shaping that future.
Sure, so if you look at gaming industry right now, the primitive is that you spend money. You either spend money on the game itself, inside the game, etc. And I think what Web3 is bringing to the space is being able to get back ownership of your assets. And it will come like one way or the others. If you have two games and one enables you to get back ownership of two assets, you'll probably choose that one. And we believe that gaming will be like an amazing growth factors for NFTs. If you simply look at Fortnite, since 2018, they sold for like 20 billion of cosmetic assets. And it doesn't improve like the game experience. You're not better if you buy this kind of asset. It's simply cosmetic. And Epic Games raised 2 billion to do the metaverse, and they announced 20 games. So it's 100% coming. For example, we have got offices with a Web3 gaming studio, Starshine Gazer. We know that it's pretty much going to be huge and probably bigger than PFP right now. What we provide here is what we want to do is we want to adapt Kairos with these kind of assets, because like they're very specific in terms of how you maintain utility, how you play with the game, what kind of technology they use, what kind of blockchain, etc. And what we want to offer is not only financial tools, because we don't believe that gamers are going to do like degen stuff with their skins or weapons inside the game, etc. But is to provide new tools that are built on Kairos. For example, something we can do very easily is installment payment for gaming asset, being able to take a loan and directly buy the NFT and directly take a loan, etc. So it's the kind of tool that we want to shape that will not be purely financial, but simply provide like a better user experience. It can also be like leverage inside the game without knowing that you are taking out a loan. Like, you got two football team, one click of a button, minus a fee, you got like a third one for competition, these kind of things. And we already start to do some experimentation on what we can do with smart contract wallet, account abstraction, etc., to provide the same kind of financial tools, but specified to gaming assets. And that's the next market that we want to address. And we believe that this kind of market has already started to emerge, but with the investment that has been made like the past 2 years, it's a market that should emerge with indie games probably within 6 months to a year. AA, AAA are expected within 2 years now, so that's definitely something we're looking for.
Looking ahead, he shares his vision for the evolution of Kairos Loan in the next 5 to 10 years and the significant impact it aims to make in the world of finance, while also offering insights into the broader landscape of DeFi and blockchain-based finance, highlighting the industry's biggest opportunities and challenges.
So I think it's important to have like a global vision because 5 to 10 years is a very long time frame, especially if you look at that blockchain has been around for like 10 years, DeFi probably 2-3 years, NFT really like 2 years. So the vision that we have right now is based on our current understanding of the market, current understanding of the technology and the sectors and its progress. So I think we need to understand that there is some primitive that will remain unchanged during that time. People want to speculate. People don't want to have financial optimization. People tend to want to get back what they have, and we believe in decentralization, etc. So based on this primitive that's going to stay unchanged, I think for the next 5 to 10 years, we want to build and tools and integrate all type of new NFTs without necessarily knowing which one's going to be like. We have some idea for the upcoming years, whether it's like gaming asset, like we mentioned before, real world asset, these kind of things. But we know that NFT is going to be used for something that we have no idea that right now that's going to be used for. So the idea is to be able to adapt very quickly and to provide financial assets based on financial tools based on any kind of asset that will have either the same exactly standard as NFT right now or very similar property, like difficulty in pricing, how do you integrate them to DeFi, etc., and of course non-fungible aspect of the asset itself. So to summarize, yeah, have a global vision where we want to head, what kind of things that we want to do, and keep in mind all the time what kind of primitive we're betting on for the next 5 to 10 years. Right now, I see DeFi and NFTs a bit like a sandbox today. Like there is a lot of experimentation. We have this first use case, but for example, at some point, I did a short consulting job for the French Central Bank to give them a vision on the DeFi ecosystem, the implementation of real world assets, what they can bring to the table, what kind of aspect they can manage, etc. And right after I did my presentation to C-Level at the French Central Bank, a discussion with one of the guy, and it was peak bull market. Total value lock was like around 200 billion, something like that. And the guy was like, yeah, it's very interesting what we can do. I like the innovation, etc. But the total value lock, the market is like 200 billion. That's the whole thing. We do over a trillion of volume a day. So it's interesting, but it's still pretty much a drop in the ocean for us. So that's the vision that I have right now. It's a closed vessel with liquidity that goes around in circle and sometimes doesn't really create value directly. We're building very complex system that will eventually be used for broader use, but it's a little bit the same with NFTs. The thing that has worked well during last bull market was profile picture, PFP, and communities, basically like an image and the promise of a product or community. So that was probably one of the first simpler use case. I love both. We're pretty big degen ourselves, whether it's DeFi and NFT, but I think what we have done so far is being able to build very cool products without eventually the final use case in mind, a final user in mind. And I think the goal is not necessarily to reach mass adoption. Finance not adopt by mass adoption when it comes to trading, etc. But I think what we need to tend to is to be really useful and create real value out of the space. And not only stack the token to get more token, then get right to vote to gain even more token, and then do aggregation, etc. So, and when it comes to challenges, so that's probably one of the biggest challenge here, be able to offer a real product to more users, and that will create intrinsic value. When it comes to challenge, to opportunity, so I work in private bank in the past on a technical level, and so I know that the system is pretty old and it's not very efficient. Blockchain bring a way to adopt a major consensus, and it's like an incredible opportunity to not only optimize, but mostly reinvent many aspects of our life. And especially, I think it suits a lot the financial system. That's the best use case of blockchain at first. It's numbers, it's a program to financial aspects is one of the best. And then NFT comes around, and also as a standard, it was a great way to bootstrap and to create community and to reach to mass adoption. I think NFT is probably one of the best way to adopt new users to the blockchain technology. But yeah, speculation is cool, but at the end of the day, we need to find real useful tools, and we will have to either find more users or create more value when it comes to the space.
In this second part, Joseph provides an in-depth exploration of the lending protocol's technical architecture. He delves into the measures taken to ensure both security and scalability, shedding light on the robustness of the platform. Joseph also shares insights into the intricate process of determining the value of NFTs as collateral and discusses risk mitigation strategies employed by Kairos Loan.
Yeah, sure. So Kairos Loan, we can do a summary. It has like three important components here. So we work with another book, a matching engine, and a technology brick to integrate with other DeFi protocols. For the first version that we're launching in 2 weeks, we have the order book and the matching ready. So we choose to not be maximalist. I think not everything has to be on-chain for different reasons, whether it's to improve the security, to make the smart contract less risky, or simply to improve user experience. So when it comes to scalability, the order book is off-chain. which give us like a great advantage, a great flexibility, and an infinite scalability. But at the core, we are dealing with people's money. So the security must be at the center of the thing. So all the important things like the loan itself, liquidation, etc., are done completely on-chain.
If you'd like to listen to the full episode, please subscribe to our newsletter called Venture Notes.